Hello, listener. I'm Craig Stepp, and this is my podcast, Look What I Found. This is episode 158 of the Dog Days of Podcasting. This is my continuing look into my past and present eternal optimism. And I'm going to finish up just to note that tomorrow, on Wednesday, I'll be cutting off the feed, and then it'll be the end. So tomorrow I'm going to do one more, and then it'll call it good. I'll be honest with you, I got a little lazy there at Dragon Con, and I totally spaced, even though I watched Chuck record his in our room. And I didn't record mine. So I'm going to do right by myself and finish out the challenge. And this is the second, this is penultimate episode for me. So I asked some of our Dog Days participants what makes them feel optimistic. And I got a couple of different styles of answer. So I'm going to go with one tonight. And tomorrow I'll take a look at the other comments, which were really in a category on their own. And I'll add some comments to them as well. So the one I've got from tonight that I want to talk about is from our own Melissa Bartel. And I'd asked what keeps us optimistic, what keeps everyone optimistic and moving forward. And she wrote, "For me, despite all of my political upheaval in the world, it is still inherent goodness of people. To be specific, on July 11th, the day that I had my knee surgery, I learned that my stepfather, who was already having kidney issues, was going in for emergency gallbladder surgery. He wasn't expected to make it. The surgery was delayed a few days. He went in, he survived, and had complications. Repeated surgeries left him diminished, so he said no more treatment for anything. Over the next 2 weeks, until he finally died, during the most brutal part of my recovery, I was also in limbo waiting for news from my mother and feeling guilty not flying down to Baja to be with her. Of course, I literally couldn't travel. I couldn't even go to the bathroom without help. But what surprised me was the outpouring of love for my mom, for my aunts and cousins and longtime friends. But the support I got from my cousins and friends, every few hours, someone would make sure I was doing okay, that I wasn't too much physical pain, and they reminded me that my stepfather would not have wanted me to compromise my recovery, that my mother didn't either. The whole year has had too much suckfulness, her word, in it. My mother-in-law died on 8/31 of 2017. My father-in-law died in May. My stepfather on July 27th. And my knee, I've been using a walker since March. But the kindness of my friends and my family has given me the strength and support to persevere." And, you know, I've seen this, you know, even in death, I've seen, you know, hopefulness and at least a bright side. And I joke about this a little bit at times, saying, you know, in the South, you know, a funeral is not a terrible thing because that's when everybody brings food out of the woodwork. But it's not just food. As a comfort, yeah. I mean, to not have to worry about eating and stuff like that in a time of, you know, mournfulness. But it's really cool to see people come out and in support of you, not just you, Melissa, but anybody, you know, myself, when we've had family pass away, and we just come together, fellowship, lend an ear, do whatever, you know. I've seen people do favors for others, not just as a cliche to say, "Hey, is there something, you know, whatever you need, just let me know," kind of thing. Some people genuinely doing things for others, and it's really inspiring, I should say. You know, and anytime I've seen the situation where, hey, somebody needs something and they're not in a position to really do anything about it, why not? You know, go and help them out, you know, because at some other time, they're going to probably think about that and do it you know, pass it on, you know, just like pay it forward in a sense. So on, she says, on a less personal note, hope and optimism were embodied for me by the folks at NASA in the last 2 days. And again, I asked for this a week or so ago. She says, Friday night, Saturday morning was supposed to be the launch date for the Parker solar probe. They found a fault at T-minus 9 minutes and held the launch to solve the violation. They agreed the risk was still acceptable, but ended up scrubbing at T-minus, 155. It was T-minus 900. Scrubbed it at 155 because the window was almost closed and they felt it wasn't enough time. Did they give up? No. They said, we've got another window tomorrow and we'll try again. And so at 3:31 Eastern Standard Time this morning, as she wrote this, the Parker probe was successfully launched, and in 6 weeks, it'll reach its orbit around Venus and Mercury. Yes, science, I think, and the accomplishments we make are, how can they not inspire anybody? I think this is really cool. Even though, you know, they obviously had an issue, but they made it happen. And the wonderful information we're going to get back from this is going to be so cool. Can't wait to see it myself. It's like when you look at some of those old pictures from when we had a lander on Venus and even Mars, and you look at the landscape and wonder, you know, what it's like if you were actually standing in that very spot. What it would, well, on Venus, it wouldn't be very good. but you know what I mean. Anyway, Melissa, thank you for sharing with us. I think that, like I said, I've found that kind of comfort before. I know others have, and this is something that I will obviously try and you know, pay forward when it's asked of me. So, all right. Thank you. And we'll see you later. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to catch up with me, you can find me on Facebook, Google Plus, or Twitter. And you can find links for all that and more on my website at spindle.com. That's SPYNDLE. Thank you, and until next time.